we must think about another important element in the Orthodox life. Okay, here's the deal. I was in bed last night, about 2 a.m., a little bit after 2 a.m., and I said, oh my goodness, I forgot to put a slide in. You know those moments of clarity just as you're drifting off to sleep? And so I rolled out of bed, I rushed in, I added one or two slides. I woke up this morning, I forgot where I put them. It might be the next slide. I don't know. So another important dimension. Oh, a fiddler on the roof. Sounds crazy, no? But here in our little village, you might say every one of us is a fiddler on the roof, trying to scratch out a simple, pleasant tune without breaking his neck. It isn't easy. You may ask, why do we stay up there if it's so dangerous? We stay because this is our home. And how do we keep our balance? That I can tell you in one word. Tradition. Because of our traditions, Tevye tells us in Fiddler on the Roof, we've kept our balance for many, many years. And that is so true of the Orthodox. We have been, I tell students this, and sometimes it blows their mind. We Orthodox have been persecuted probably from about the 6th century until the 21st century, somewhere in the world. And in spite of that persecution, we have not only survived, we've thrived. And it's because of our traditions. And because of our traditions, Tevye tells us, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do. Tradition is an important part of our life. And we've got tradition. What are the traditions that are important for the Orthodox Church? What are the traditions that are important for, now I'm going to change it, Orthodox life, since that's what we're talking about. What are the traditions that are important for Orthodox life?
The Eucharist.
The Eucharist, absolutely. Because I think it's, Christ said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And so we have to have it to have life. Yes, I heard someone else.
Liturgy.
Absolutely, the work of the people, glorifying God. But you know what? There's another dimension to it. There are two dimensions to liturgy. One dimension is us glorifying God. And that's one level. There are three levels. You know what? We're Orthodox. There are three. One is us glorifying God. Another one is sanctification. God sanctifying us in and through the liturgy. And a third one is the horizontal, which I find absolutely marginalized. And that's the church talking to us. The generations of Christians teaching us, informing us about the gospel, about the truths of the faith. And so when we go and when we pray, when we hear the hymns, when we sing the hymns, the voices from what? The 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, 12th centuries are coming back and informing us, teaching us, molding us. Liturgy, absolutely a crucial tradition. What are some other traditions?
Baptism.
What's another tradition?
The sacraments.
You know, you all are such a good group. You're giving like the textbook answers. You're not giving the answers that are near and dear to my heart.
Nativity.
If there's one that just really makes us a little bit different than the rest of them, is I honestly believe that we really are the Church of the Apostles, and that we truly are a ongoing, unbroken tradition that goes right to Christ. And I think that the other ones, I don't see that in.
We read in the scriptures the importance of keeping the traditions that you've been taught. And we've got the traditions that have been taught to us. I was going to go back in time, but now I'm going to go forward in time. Christ taught the apostles, and they taught the disciples, and they taught the saints, and the saints 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 taught my grandmother, and my grandmother taught me. And so we've got this great sense of continuity that is visceral. Yes?
In Orthodoxy, there is something that's very unique, and that is that everything in Orthodoxy and everything in the church leads up to the resurrection and away. Where the other churches, like the Nativity, is more prominent than the resurrection. For us, the resurrection is the
top. Yeah. Yeah. It's a tradition to always have the resurrection there, to have everything.
Every day.
Everything feeds into the resurrection. Everything derives its meaning, its significance from the resurrection.
Every day.
Yeah.
Sanctification of time and giving time meaning.
Oh, I like that. Sanctification of time, giving time meaning. We have our traditions that give time meaning. And that consecrates all of our lives. See, you're too smart. This is the thing I hate about PowerPoint presentations. You have to decide days in advance the order. I'm going to get back to that. That's on here, I hope. We got yes.
Well, one of the things that I really think about when I'm pondering that, like keeping our balance, is the cycle of the church year, how it takes us through the fasts, the feasts, or weekly tone cycle, mm-hmm. cycle of scripture readings. But there's just like a rhythm to the church
yeah.
year, and that is what keeps us grounded in the church itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Father Alexander Schmemann once wrote, and I think this is a great thing, because of the rhythm of the church year, because of the rhythm of the liturgy, we are freed up. We don't have to think actively because we fall into the rhythm and we go with the rhythm, and that frees us up to pray. And that frees us up to be present to God. And then we're starting pre-Lent today. We open the Triodion tonight, don't we? Ay. How time does fly. And I love the way that if you're present during the Triodion, a great tradition of the church. It's going to start out during the pre-Lent period teaching you about humility, teaching you about prayer, about repentance, about judgment, all of those. It gives you the building blocks. You know what? I've held off. I'm very proud of myself because I've been talking for a little over an hour now and I haven't talked about food yet. Now we're at the food. It's like when you're cooking. They tell you. Sometimes I listen. You get all of your ingredients out. Because heaven forbid, you're cooking and then you say, oh, I don't have any baking powder. So you get all your ingredients out. And that's what the pre-Lenten period is like. It's getting all of the themes out there so we know what they are. And then we begin Lent. And oh my goodness, we are beating our chests. We are so cognizant of our sinfulness. And it's really... If you're not Orthodox and you read the hymns from the beginning of the Triodion, you think that you have the worst theology of human beings ever. We are sinful, we're good for nothing, but then it changes a little bit. Halfway through we get the Holy Cross, and then we start getting hope in. And so it leads you through this beautiful journey of recognizing repentance and then realizing the cross, and then preparing us for the joy of the resurrection. And so there we, the last week in Lent, we're talking about the resurrection. We're anticipating it. And then all through Holy Week, we're talking about the crucifixion, but then we end it with, show us your resurrection, O Lord. And so we've got that beautiful sort of a thing. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking about traditions having to do with food. I was thinking about the traditional foods of the Orthodox. of the Orthodox Church, you know? Heaven forbid that you should make a traditional Christmas food for Easter. That just will not fly. We have all of these traditions. And we have to figure out how to arrange the traditions. Especially here in the United States. Because we've got, remember, life is messy, it's complicated. We've got, oh my good heavens. Very, very, very near and dear to my heart. I was sponsored at the wedding. I was sponsored two weddings, if you can believe it, where a Greek married an Arab. Oh my goodness. Talk about conflicting traditions. We had to have, at the reception, a table of Greek-style baklava and another table of Lebanese-style baklava. You know, because we had to figure out how to balance the traditions. And then we're here in the United States, and we've got all other kinds of traditions. You know, this year, how do we balance the tradition of St. Patrick's Day and the Vespers of Clean Monday? You know? How do we begin Lent on St. Patrick's Day? I don't know. I'm going to figure it out this year. However, I'm a little bit better Pascha, blending Pascha and Cinco de Mayo. That's going to be a great festival. So we have to figure out how to blend our traditions. And one thing that people have said, and so this is where I'm going to be a little bit cynical and harsh. A lot of people talk about big T, little T traditions. And that's a great designation until you stop and think about it. Ooh. It smells like fruits. People talk about big T, little T traditions, and it's nice because what you've got is a big T tradition. You've got the resurrection of Christ. You've got full humanity and full divinity of Christ. You've got the virginity of Mary before, during, and after childbirth. Those are all big T traditions. That is magnificent. I understand that. Little T traditions. A little T tradition would be censing the bishop 9 times. A little T tradition would be where the celebrant stands. Oh no, where the reader stands, the gospel. Do we read the gospel facing east or do we read the gospel facing west? Do we read the epistle facing east or west? Those are little T traditions. That's great. What color you dress the altar in. That's a little T tradition. I get that. But what about fasting? Is fasting a big T tradition or a little T tradition?
Big T.
Big T.
Both.
And so, yeah, so the big T, little T breaks down. And so I'm thinking that we need to come up with an idea of core traditions and peripheral traditions. And so we get a core tradition, the divinity of Christ, the Trinity. That's a core tradition. We get what color we dress the altar in the week before Pentecost. That's a little bit more of a peripheral tradition. Fasting comes closer to the core. Women keeping their head covered. For some people, it's out here. For other people, it's here. You know, rather than thinking either or, we need to think core and peripheral traditions. And sometimes core and peripheral traditions are going to change, even within our lives. At one point, I thought it was very important to do something. It was way up here. And then I realized, you know what? No, that's not. You run into this in stories of the desert monastics and fasting. Fasting is a huge core value for them. It's a core tradition for them. But then hospitality comes up. And you have to decide which is more core. And so for them, hospitality is more core than fasting. And so I think that sort of opens up the possibilities when we're trying to figure out how to do that. And so, oh my goodness, here I have a summary of the Orthodox life. And again, this is what I was thinking you might say. You said a lot more. Life within the church, life of doxology, focused on Christ, oriented toward the eschatological paradise, tradition. And all of this sort of comes into it. Fasting, theosis, worship. I think we talked actually a whole lot about a whole lot of these things. Now, I need a drink of water. So, if you would, I've got some here. So if you would take the burden off of me, and for the next few minutes, talk amongst yourselves about the, wait, do I have it here? The internet world. What do you think of about life in the internet world? What does that conjure up?
What do you think about the internet?
Are you going to start a new list?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a